Joseph, obviously. And at the end of Genesis, it talks about, you know, the enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the road that he took, he would never have chosen, but God turned it all around so that he was able to bless the children of Israel and that they didn't die from famine. So, you know, the enemy meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. And if I was to ask each one here, the path that you've come along to be here today, we'd get some very strange answers. I know for us, ourselves, you know, it wouldn't have been the way that we would have chosen to end up here, but God meant it for good. God has brought us so far. You know, God has brought us so far to the end of 2012, and we can trust him as we go into 2013. We don't understand sometimes the things that we go through. Things don't go the way that we would like them to. But as the video kept said, he knows better than we do. You know, sometimes when they were building the new road, the new motorway that goes from Vera to Cartagena, we watched them building it. It's fairly near where we live. And as they were drilling through the mountains to get to the other side, you know, sometimes the only way we can get around the mountain that's in front of us is through a dark tunnel. And I just felt to share that today because some of you might feel at the moment that you are in a dark tunnel, but God wants you to know he's meaning it for good. You know, he knows the way. He will bring you through it. And when he does, you'll have a whole new vista in front of you, a whole new perspective on what God wants you to do and where God wants to take you. praise God for that. We're being taken from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. Now, as we get a new year in front of us, for myself, a year older, a year nearer meeting the Lord face to face, praise God. You know, we're being taken from glory to glory. I believe God's saying for this church that 2013 will be a year of extraordinary breakthrough. Really believing for that, as we see God do some amazing things in this area of Spain. Isaiah cried out, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." We just want to see a real move of God in this area, that God would rend the heavens and come down. But, you know, Jesus answered that prayer of Isaiah. We've just been celebrating Christmas when we remember that Jesus came down, that he came as a baby. And we praise God for that. But I learned recently that at the baptism of Jesus, this prayer of Isaiah was answered even more so, because it says the heavens were opened and the Spirit came down on him. But that word for the heavens being opened is the same as when the veil of the temple was rent asunder. So heaven was torn apart, rent asunder, and the Spirit came down on the Lord without measure. And we live in a world at the moment with an open heaven, where heaven has been torn asunder and the Spirit has been poured out. And that same Spirit that came down on Jesus without measure is alive and living in each one of us. And I believe God wants, you know, to raise us up this next year, that we can live as people of the Spirit, you know, and really affect the area around us. We have a God of the much more. You know, how much more, it says over and over again in the Bible. A God of the much more. He will do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. I know I've got some divers here. And I was just thinking, you know, how many different kinds of fish do we need? I love looking at tropical fish in aquariums and the brilliant colours, the sizes, the different shapes. How many fish do we need in this world? How many different types of colours of flowers do we need? God gives us so much more. Looking at the night sky, as Duncan's fond to talk about, how many stars do we need? We have a God of the much, much more. And as we turn the page, if you like, to a blank page for 2013, I want us to look for a few minutes at Psalm 123. I think Will's got it on the screen. Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. We have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. And it's particularly those words, you know, we lift our eyes to him as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress. The psalmist lifts his eyes to God, watching and waiting until. And a slave and a maid in those days had to look to their master and mistress for everything, you know, to fulfill all their needs. For the food they ate, any money they had, the roof over their head, the company that they kept, everything came from the hand of the master or the mistress. You know, one of my favourite programmes is Downton Abbey, and I was, you know, thrilled to watch it over Christmas. I don't think Duncan was too thrilled, but I love it. And, but just seeing how the lives of the servants revolve around the master ministers, whatever the master minister is doing. You know, they give them instruction, they give them direction, and the servants are ready to serve in whatever way is demanded of them. It can't have been a very nice life at the time, but just sort of looking at this psalm and thinking, you know, everything that they needed was supplied by that master and mistress. And that's the same way that we need to look at the Lord as we come to the beginning of the new year. We need to fix our eyes on him, to look to him for everything. You know, these days are so different, it's so easy to find different sources and to focus on them and take our focus off the Lord. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 4 said, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory which far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I believe God wants us to sharpen our focus, you know, to refocus on him much, much more. I heard Bill Johnson tell a story of an athlete in the States, not a very well-known athlete, but he was in a terrific car accident and lost an arm as a result of that. So he wondered what he could do in sport that he could continue doing. And in the end, he sort of decided that he was going for handball. Now that is quite a vicious sport. It's a really hard ball, and you've just got to use your hand to hit it. But he became very, very successful, much more successful than any of the other players. And a commentator once asked him, you know, what's the secret of your success? And he said, well, I don't have a choice. You know, most of them had a choice between the left or the right arm. He only had the one arm. And there was something about reduced options, because he knew sort of straight away he was faster, because he only had the one option. One option we have, and one option only, trust him. We very often hear the end of Charles Stanley on a Sunday morning, and he always finishes by saying, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. There's no plan B in the Christian life. We need to look at him. We need to focus on him. We need to readjust our focus, fix our eyes on him, and to trust him as we go into 2013. And as the video said, you know better than I. You know the way. And let go of the need to know why. For you know better than I. Amen. In a few minutes we're going to come round the communion table, but first of all, let's just spend a little bit of time in prayer. Just felt the Lord wanted to address a few things this morning. Let's pray. And the first one was about baggage. You know, what baggage are we going to take into 2013 that God doesn't want us to? Let's let go of hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness. Let's make a conscious choice now that if anyone's hurt us, that we're going to forgive right now. We're not going to carry that baggage forward to the new year. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come to you. Lord, I just pray. We just bring to our memory anything that we need to forgive. Any guilt, shame, disappointment. Lord, we don't want to carry it into the new year. We just want to make a choice right now just to leave it behind. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we want to come to the new year with new expectations. We don't want to go into the new year thinking it's going to be the same old. But Lord, we come to you, the God of the much more, saying we're trusting you to do much more in the new year. We want to have much more of a relationship with you. We want to fix our eyes on you. We want to be closer to you, go deeper with you, Lord. Go further with you. Hear the cry of our heart, Lord. Increase our expectations for what you're going to do in us and through us in 2013. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as the eyes of the maid and the slave look to the master or the mistress for everything, we want to focus on you. We want to refocus our thinking on you, Lord, trusting you to supply all that we need. Thank you, Lord, that you supply not just what we need, but so much more. And Lord, help us to go deeper with you, further with you. Help us to trust you in everything that we do. Lord, I know who holds the future. And he guides me by his hand. To God, things just don't happen. Everything by him is planned. So as we face tomorrow with its problems, great and small, we'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him our all. Amen.